Welcome to Taking the Rams by the Horns, a podcast that takes current affairs out of current affairs. This is a podcast in partnership with Sowetan Live. I'm your host, Rams Mabote. South Africa is alive with possibilities. I mean, who would have imagined a former president in jail? A sitting president sleeping on cash, literally. A cabinet minister visiting a common prisoner in jail. Or even the post office operating, even when they have nothing to do.
Can you confirm that delivery performances dropped?
Welcome to the new Sowetan Live podcast called Taking the Rams by the Horns with me, Rams Mabote. Each week, I will be taking a lighter look at very serious topics that half the time drive you up the wall. This podcast will use humor to take no prisoners, have no holy cows, and cook a whole lot of sacrificial lambs.
Death do us part.
Death do us part.
Amen.
Oh, yes.
Angela Kadim. Repeat that statement. Aye.
Aye.
Angela Kadim.
Angela Kadim.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Candy Ilesome Michael.
Candy Ilesome Michael.
To be my lawful husband.
To be my lawful husband.
To love and to obey. To
what?
Love and to obey.
What?
Yes. To love and to obey.
Obey what?
Obey your husband.
And obey who?
While the ANC wasted 30 glorious years to make South Africa a model African country, thousands of miles away in a country called the Western Cape, the Democratic Alliance was perfecting its propaganda mission, presenting itself to be the model government that should run the country, even when their electoral support has remained stagnant. But who cares? The DA is now the kingmaker in what the ANC has dubbed the government of national unity, that has all but unified the players in it. It seems to be a piss-up in a church conference. At the time of recording this episode, horse manure trading was continuing and President Cyril Ramaphosa was yet to announce his cabinet, more than a week since his inauguration. At the moment, he serves alone in cabinet. Very convenient, because no one will remind him of how long he takes in making decisions. Apparently, the DA is a sensitive party that does not like criticism, and I have been warned that if I misstep, they may refuse to come into my studio, much like its leader John Steenhuisen has shunned Clement Manyathela of 702. Oh, I just remembered. They have not come into this studio either. That's quite a bummer, isn't it? What can one really say about a party that has such a hate for its first name, democracy? The DA seems to love democracy only in its terms. Quite a radical take on democracy as it's supposed to be. Frankly, I'm crapping on my pants at the prospect of the DA banning my podcast should they have their way in their attempt to choke the ANC into line. I may have to broadcast from exile in Nkandla. And now, the ANC, which brought home a measly 40% of the votes, seems to be in a mess. At first, they thought they were speaking to like-minded friends when they approached the DA to join the facade of the GNU, only to realize that the DA had other plans. They want to be class monitors in the new dispensation. As someone smarter put it earlier, the GNU will be like a supermarket.
Hello, I come in peace, humble and contrite. So my Rakhadi was asking, you know, she doesn't understand what's happening with the politics. But I can't understand. ANC, it's very 40%. Biano, how does DA fit in? Think of it this way. If ANC wants to do anything, ANC needs to call DA and say, authorize. Then it's up to DA if you're authorizer or not. If the ANC does things without the DA's consent, Koopa void. They void it. I promise you, that explanation worked like wonders because she understood. Now she takes it and explains it. So maybe if your elders are asking, this is the best way because you are using a real life situation that they expose to every day to explain politics. Take it, don't take it.
At first, I thought this was a joke. A racist one at that. For isn't it always the case that whenever black people question the DA, they are racist? The DA even labeled their own protégés, Musi Maiman and Herman Mashaba, racist when they started challenging the bosses. But now I realize it wasn't a joke. Although you must admit it was funny. The DA indeed wants to be the chief whip in the GNU. They have now come out guns blazing, making all sorts of demands, including the right to vet the appointment of heads of department in government. They don't call it cadre deployment. They wouldn't. Our DA is anti-communist and wouldn't use abominable phrases like cadre. All they want are suitably qualified, preferably white candidates to be appointed by them. They call it meritocracy. So, I invited my homeboy and a formerly deployed cadre of the ANC to the government of Gauteng, Mbazi Mashilowa, who this week wrote in his column in that opposition stable called News 24, criticizing the DA for wanting to interfere with the public service. Ndunankul, good to see you.
Yes, thank you very much.
You're famous this week, you know, I mean, or this month, or since elections. Everywhere I turn on my radio, it's you, everywhere. Oh, what lang? What's happening? Are you retired?
I am retired. I'm a man of leisure. You know, I was talking to one of the editors at News 24 who works on articles.
Yeah.
And she was saying that this article of this week has been a real hit, both in terms of how people want to talk about it, but also in terms of the comments there.
Well, this is why you are here.
Which I think is always the purpose of a
of to a get column, us talking.
To get people talking, not for everyone to agree with it.
Yes.
People think that they forget that it's an opinion.
Yes.
And an opinion means it's my opinion.
Exactly.
Let's engage
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yes. So, is the DA playing hard to get, you know, like a girl being courted in this case and they feel like I'm the best girl in the room?
No, no, no. I don't think they are playing hard to get. It's a situation where, you know, they've already said to the ANC, we can go ahead into the marriage.
Yeah.
But then they realize that the ANC seem more interested in his table.
Yeah.
And as a result, they don't think that, look, they prefer a polygamous relationship or, to use a proper language, a GNU coalition, multi-party, whatever you call it.
Yeah.
So they're trying to secure for themselves a space, but I think they're going around it the wrong way. You can sit down with Ramaphosa, Mbalula, and the rest of the ANC and say to them, look, this is the numbers that we're looking for. You can even say to them, would prefer if we have a position in each of the various clusters, you know, up to a particular aspect, but never go public. Because the minute you go public, you're basically saying to the president, same way that Kenny Kunene and Katin has been doing, we want the following departments. And so if the president doesn't give them to you, what are you going to do?
So they're setting themselves for failure, because if they don't get it, then they look like they failed.
They look like they have failed, when in fact, if all you do is to say, look, these are the numbers that we're looking for, but behind doors say to them, look, we would prefer this and that and that. And even in that situation, I would try and avoid going for things which I know I'm not going to get.
Well, you know,
Steenhuisen is not going to become the deputy president of this country.
I have known you much longer than before you were premier of Gauteng.
Right.
I remember you as a unionist.
Yes.
And I remember how you would go into those negotiations and make and put on the table demands that looked impossible.
Yes.
Right? And 9 out of 10 times, the settlement was never what you had put on the table.
Yes. Yeah. No, no, you're right. I think in general, at the time, I think we need to distinguish between now and then.
Yeah.
At the time, there was really very little room and the wages were very low. So it was not unheard of for someone to say, look, we want a 60% increase.
Yeah.
because it would translate into maybe 2 rand. In this situation where we are in, I think most trade unions, you know, go for between 6 and 8, or they would say inflation plus plus 2. But I'm saying that even if that's what the DA have in mind, you don't go public in this particular situation. But I've concluded the following, and I may be wrong. I think the DA is not talking to us. It's not talking to the ANC. It's talking to the extreme right of the DA. That even though, you know, they accept that they should be relationship with the ANC, they think that the only way you can have a relationship is to bully the ANC. Mm. But I think the rest of the of the DA and the middle, whatever other leaders, know that you're not going to bully anybody. Similarly, the ANC knows that, look, we're not going to bully these fellows. We have decided this is who our partner is going to be. So we've got to nurse each other, but let's not push one another too far.
Well, let's go to your column.
Yes, sir.
About public service, right? I mean, that the DA now says, we actually want to be in the room to appoint every DG, every head of department. Do they have a point? I mean, DGs in government are largely ANC people, no?
DGs in government are largely members or supporters of the ANC because that's what the government have been. But there are people there who are not necessarily card-carrying members of the ANC. Yeah. And the problem here that you're facing is that firstly, let's assume you take over the reins at the Sowetan.
Yeah.
No due diligence of which journalist is which. You just arrive there and say, okay, from tomorrow, we're bringing in new journalists because I prefer to work with my own with my own people. Mm. It's a recipe for disaster. It's like really wild west stuff. Where you arrive, cowboy, shoot up in the air, everybody hands off, lie down, and then you say to them, okay, out of here, boys, come in, we are now in charge. Never works like that in government.
That sounds like a metaphor for Helen Zille.
I think Godzilla will do something like that, yes.
But, you know, I must say, the only time I remember a DG, you know, not following party line was Andile Lungisa defying the short-lived Weekend Special Finance Minister, Des van Rooyen.
No. In fact, if you go back, you take somebody like, what's his name? Tawa.
Oh, yes, yes. Itumele Musala.
Yes. Yes. He was there.
Yeah.
He was the DG. To an ANC minister, yeah. His thing did not matter. Even now, the DA is not saying this one was brought in here solely because they are ANC. They're simply saying in any department that we're going to take over, we want to bring our own people. And I'm sitting there thinking, but there's a name for this thing.
It's called cadre deployment.
Why not call it by its proper name?
Yeah.
And you simply say, look, guys, we know we did say we don't believe in cadre development. We were just shooting off our mouth. We do believe in it. I'm sure we also do it in some of our municipalities. We do it even in the Western Cape. So that's what we'd want to do. Then you'll ask them the next question. Okay, so what should we do with this DG?
The current one.
Yes, we may have 2 or 3 years still to go. They would say, well, deploy him, and say, deploy him where? Because he was employed for this particular position. Yeah. No, pay him out. And we say, no. But you have always been crying about the fact that many public servants are staying at home, doing nothing and all of that. So I think in that direction, they're backing up a wrong tree. Where a DG may be left with like 3-6 months, you are able to say, look, we will advertise now, and then we will interview, and then the person will take over in a particular period, mm-hmm. you know.
Look, you know, I remember you had a white DG of transport that you later then deployed to go and start the Shilowa train, actually.
Yes, that's what it was called.
Shilowa Express, right?
Yes.
It was a rarity because normally, I mean, the ANC does it black only. I mean, maybe the DA wants to do the opposite, doing it only white.
No, no. You know, it's very funny. In fact, Jack van der Merwe came from the old era. He was there during the time of the Transvaal
administration. Wow.
And one of the reasons why countless administration of the ANC kept him, notwithstanding that he came in there in that particular era, because he was a walking encyclopedia when it comes to knowing which roads have been earmarked elsewhere. Where is which line? Where is which rail line? But he also knew the work that he was doing. But he was also willing to transfer the skills. But no, it was not even that. I mean, there would have been many other people, black and white, and there would have been black people that we brought in, that we fired, because we thought they were not working.
Yeah.
Not because they were deployed. But to be fair to the DA, even ANC ministers do it. They come in, you are now the head of this department, you find a DG there. You don't want that DG.
Yeah.
That DG have not done anything, but you want to do some nefarious thing and you think, look, this DG may not agree to those. So what do? You get your own advisor to meddle in the affairs of the... and then people say, no, you can't. And then you suspend the DG with pay, have your person acting, and later they take over. But when that happens, I can tell you, you will find out later, it had nothing to do with the DG. It had everything to do with putting the hand in the cookie jar. And I think the DA is going about it the wrong way. They may not be wanting to steal, but if you're not planning to steal, you work with the people that are there. You give them instruction. They play in subordination. You charge them. The law is on your side. But also, just think about it this way. How much do you think the PIC is worth?
Well,
trillions, right?
Trillions of rand.
They are not asking for treasury because they are really interested in the budget. It may be that they want to be able to redirect the PIC funding and resources. Nowhere in the world, even a president who is ceremonial, will never give you foreign affairs, will never get rid of treasury and those kind of things. So it's not going to happen.
Hmm. Well, but you have to admit, though, you know, the DA may have a case because some of our administrators have not done well. What must happen in that case?
Yes, but you see, you can't start on the basis that says the guys that are there have not done very well. You've got to start on the basis that says, I am here now. And then I say, Rems, can you say to me what is the program for this year in this department? What has been done? What has been achieved? What is the budget? How much has been spent? Little has been spent. Why has little been spent? Look, over the next 6 months, this is what we need to be able to do. You can't, even before you walk in, simply say no. I think because that fellow plays a lot of golf, it must mean that even his work is suffering.
Yeah.
It's a wrong...
Yeah, because golfers do work too. I mean, I can attest.
Well, I don't know, but I'm just not going to say that they don't work that well.
If the DA, and I doubt it, but I have to ask if they got their way with this demand of interfering with the public service, because I want to stay with the public service.
Yes.
It would have a large impact on budgets. I mean, and some of the money going to, you know, I mean, I've seen how money is spent during meetings, Nando's and KFC and stuff. They probably would redirect it elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, no, but you see, the that is not a function of a new DG. It's a function of you as the head or political head saying, this is how we're going to work. So in other words, if you come in and say, you see, you can't redirect a budget that you don't know how much it is. Mm. And I'm sure they may know it's so much in, say, foreign affairs. But how much is being used for what? You can't just arrive in there and say, there are too many diplomats. And therefore, this is what we're going to be able to do. It's not going to work. So the point I'm making, even if you wanted to cut costs, in fact, it is not the best way to cut costs paying Mbazima 6 years to stay at home because you want to bring in someone who is going to earn the same salary and you're now paying double the salaries. That's a wrong way of going about it. In any case, it is always better. When I came into Gauteng, I inherited a DG. I worked with that DG. The only reason that DG left was because Geraldine asked if they can have that DG because they were now setting up a public service commission and they thought the knowledge that he had. I then said, I'll find someone. Even after I left, the DG that was there, Nomvula worked with that DG. Paul worked with that particular DG and
but,
all of
but,
that.
But it was in the same party, right?
No. I've already told you that even in the same party, in some departments, people have been moved. Mavimbela was moved by Zuma.
Yeah.
Was sidelined by Zuma. He was an ANC person.
Yeah.
But Cyril found Lubisi there. Yeah. Worked with him
until his retirement.
So it just depends on those. But there are people who don't care about the use of the resources, who pretend they are caring, you know. And I think we must call their bluff. I can tell you it's not going to happen. If it was to happen, it will mean when the public service is broken or the rules must be changed immediately to say, from now onwards, a DG is linked to their own principal. Even if the president reshuffled that principal 6 months into the job, that DG must leave. And you can tell me which DG is going to come in there knowing if you go, they are going to go.
Mm.
Nobody.
Nobody's going to take the job.
No.
Is the DA alienating the public service here? I work for government and I'm hearing these noises,
yeah.
I'm almost sitting there and thinking if a DA minister is going to take over this portfolio that I work in, there's going to be problems.
Yes, it may alienate the public service. Or it may isolate whichever new DGs that they are going to bring in any employment, whether it's in the media or elsewhere, a new person coming in, being the flavor of a minister or the boss, is likely going to be alienated by the rest who are there. So I can tell you, if you were to bring, say, 10 or 12 new DGs, retrenching 12 DGs, the other remaining 18 will not work that well with these others. And unfortunately, the public service functions even now without any minister because it works as a collective. The head of the broader public service is Pindile, the DG in the presidency.
Yeah.
And what she does from time to time is to call everybody, guys, remember the oath we took. This is what we're supposed to do. By the way, how far are we? Because she's the coordinator of the various clusters.
Yeah.
How far are we on this one? How far are we on that one? That's what you need. Of course, there will be some DGs who, when a new minister arrive, they may think, no, it's not for me. Let me leave.
Mm.
Then it's fine. They're not going to be paid off. But you ask me to leave, I will stay there and fight you on that dismissal, and there's nothing you can do about it.
You know, as a Kaizer Chiefs supporter, you
please,
know.
Man. Please,
well,
man.
I had to make a link with the question I want to ask, that, you know, the top office does interfere with the bench, right?
Yes.
So you can't expect politicians not to interfere with the DGs.
Yes, you can expect them to, but the best way you interfere is to set up the policy. But let's use the Kaizer Chiefs as an example.
Yeah.
The top office interfering with the bench, deploying cadres because of what they think they will do.
Yeah.
The result is that you're languishing at number 10, that at some point you may have to fight relegation. In fact, you may find that they are now paying the new coach who is coming more than they would have if they had taken him 2 years 2 years ago. So interference at that level never works. And in this instance, the only time I know that where ministers bring their own DGs is because they want someone who is pliant, so that even when they are stealing or interfering, those people are not going
because
to say anything.
Because they run big budgets, right? And we know it's not a secret. I mean,
yes,
political parties find a way of being funded through departments of government.
Yes, 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 yes. So, you know, they do. But you see...
And I mean, that includes the DA.
Yeah,
I'm not talking about ANC.
No, we're talking government.
Government, yeah.
But you see, that's why... what you will find, though, even where the minister is said to have gotten money the crooked way, DGs are never involved. Because DGs know, this is my budget. So what happens is that, you know, you lie. You go to the guy who is just about to get a tender. Whether they will get it or not, you say, you know what, I'll ensure that you get it.
Yeah.
Because I've already seen the scores and everything else. And then when you get it, you are beholden to me. A good DG will say it's not going to be done. You were talking about Fuzile.
Yeah.
You've got to look at Themba Maseko. This was a president who was saying, please, man, help my guys with the hustle. And he says, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
He knew that it may cost him his job. He was an ANC person. JZ was an ANC person. So there are a number of public servants that I know would not bend even a knee, even if the good Lord was to say, please, don't kneel, just pretend like you're bending towards me.
I would have thought the DA would have demanded that rather the country does away with deputy ministers. I mean, it would even make sense to have two DGs at some point, right? Because that's where the work happens.
Why? Why would you want to have two DGs? How are you going to keep the whole caucus happy? Remember, in the ANC and in the DA, there are people who think this deal is not a good deal. And that's why you'll find, I mean, Cyril is not only dealing with the demands of the DA. He's also dealing with others saying, yes, but President, we have really been with you for quite a long time. We stood by you. Pala was there. But, you know, me, you remember, I even stood up and all of that. So now that ungenile mbuso nwako, ngicela ukuthi nami
ungikhumbule.
You see the situation. So it's the same with the DA. Forget about deputy ministers. Has the DA said, what are they going to do? Will they stay in ministerial homes? will they accept these generators that they were saying that people are there and all of that? Of course they are going to accept those. You know, the fighters said the same thing before they go to parliament.
Yeah.
But the fighters, I saw one fighter saying, no, we need these two homes because, you know, we don't stay at home and all of that. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
I want us to conclude talking about the dynamic between Helen Zille and Mbalula.
Yes.
You know, Madam Zille seems to be, you know, back on top, you know, at least from the pronouncements she makes publicly. And for some reason, Vuta seems to be lying on his back, taking it all in. Or am I getting it wrong?
Well, you're getting it right in the following terms. Helen have taken the mantle of being a demagogue, one that shout the most. Mbalula understands that it is important. It is the ANC that must keep this ship floating. So as the captain of the ship, he has decided, Helen says something, he says, I hear you. You are wrong, Helen, but we will talk to you later. And I think it's because he understands he is not talking to ANC members. He's also talking to other people who didn't vote for the ANC, who didn't want the ANC to be in government, but who shudder to think what will happen if the ANC would have said, okay, guys, we accept we lost the election. We will take our seat in the opposition benches.
Yeah.
No one would be able to do their work. So Mbalula understands that it may be that the historic mission now has to be acted upon.
Well, for a second, I thought he didn't have enough vocabulary to tell Zille to shove it.
I think he does.
Finally.
Yes.
You know, this talk about public service and DGs and heads of department, it looks to me that Zille already is working as the DG of the GNU. Or talking as one.
No. And in fact, one of the things that I've realized is that the one who talks the most when there are negotiations is the one who is losing. Even a coach in a team, the one who is shouting at the referee, at everybody, who blames everybody except the players and their method. You must know that coach is on their way out and has run out of words on the team.
Always wonderful having you in Ndunankulu. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. You know, I hope that Mbalula accept that, look, Helen is his scoundrel for now.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Taking the Rams by the Horns. Download the My Sowetan app and listen to more of my podcasts. We are also on Spotify. Follow us on X at Rams by the Horns and at Sowetan Live. Please send your comments to me via email on rams@ramsmabote.com. Let me know what you think of the podcast. Or better still, let me be your MC, keynote speaker, or facilitator at your next event. It is the only thing I can do better than satire and sarcasm. From me, Rams Mabote, good night and God bless.